catch up on Bravo stuff, I'm like, oh, I can't do anything else. I have to watch six shows.
I'm so sorry. I'm booked and busy today.
Yeah. And also, I'm in the time that I have to watch those shows, I'm not watching the shows. I'm just not doing anything else either, because in my head, I have to watch the Bravo shows.
Uh-huh. It's why, like, scheduling anything, like us scheduling a 12 o'clock recording time. Now, I did actually have stuff to do before this, but, like, had I not, I would have been like, well, my day's shot. My day starts at 1 because I have a 12 o'clock recording time.
Our brains. What are you going to do? Oh, well.
What are you going to do?
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Reality Is. As always, it's Noor, and I'm joined today with Captain of Chaos, Chelsea of Chelsea, formerly Ono Bravo, one half of I'm the Cute One, the cutest one of all. Here to just catch up on the full week of Bravo things, which you watched some of. You did not watch a lot of, but you could probably guess most of what happened.
I'm familiar with the memes that are happening.
That's all you need.
Yeah. I'm behind on the Valley, mm-hmm. but it's because, like, I really need to be of sound mind and spirit when I tune into that program. And lately, you know, we've got Mercury retrograde. There's been an eclipse. I'm just not in the headspace to watch anything with Brittany and Jax, you know?
But you are caught up on their tour.
I am fully caught up on the Brittany Cartwright, why I'm leaving Jax bombshell of a press tour. It's like, do we need a press tour to know why you are leaving Jax Taylor?
I cannot believe that that woman got a People magazine cover.
An exclusive.
With a picture that who took from her mom.
And I think Kate Middleton was playing with the Facetune app on that one too.
Oh my God. All right. Well, we're going to talk about – we'll touch on the Valley. Not a lot happened on the Valley. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting to see, you know, as a mental health professional, not me, you, it is going to be interesting to psychoanalyze what's happening here, because it is really good. And also, mm-hmm. there wasn't a ton of Jax and Brittany, which is actually great.
That is great. I love that they're kind of the Trojan horse. Yeah. Like, they were the vehicle in which they got people to tune in. And now they're like, you know what? If you separate and spend your days in those Airbnbs, we have other people that you can watch.
Exactly. And separate, quote unquote, because they are still actively working together and going on many a press tour. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those finances are very much in a joint account. Let's be honest here.
Yes.
Real Houses of Potomac had a second part reunion. Certainly, there was a lot of good discussion about colorism. But hey, guess what? White lady, brown lady, not for us to discuss about black people.
Nor, I think that I am the perfect person to center myself in this conversation. Have you learned nothing from the Valley?
Like, go listen to Bravo, We're Black. Go listen to Bitches Better. Go listen to what else is going on. There's tons of quality, very, very good black Bravo content creators who are tackling the topic of colorism on Real Houses of Potomac that neither of us really have the nuance, or I honestly don't think that I am the right person to talk about it. I could talk about colorism within my community, but that's about it. Colorism with white people is like, who's got the better spray tan, I guess.
Yeah, there's a saying in my family, tan babies. My family loves a tan baby. It's troubling for, you know, normal people like my sister-in-law who come into the family and they're like, skin cancer, though. Maybe we don't rub baby oil on the baby, you know?
Maybe up on the roof. It'll be fine.
So, yeah, don't think I'm the person to be weighing in on any of that.
So on the episode, the big thing that was like sort of like going to probably anchor – Potomac into the next season, whenever that happens, is Mia and potentially her child's paternity, which she's bringing on camera, and in a classic Andy Cohen fashion, which, like, I know you love this. Mm-hmm. They're talking about, like, is this baby Gordon's? Is he somebody else's? Whatever. And Karen very nicely is like, I think this is inappropriate and we should not be discussing this on TV. This child is going to see this. Like, I think that we need to be careful about what we're saying, whatever. And Andy's like, yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. So Karen, did you call Mia a hoe on Watch What Happens?
Oh, Andy. I'm surprised Andy wasn't like, so Mia, are you having a girl? Is she going to have fake tits one day?
So stupid. It was great. But yeah, I mean, shockingly, the reunions are a lot more entertaining than the entire season. But, you know,
because they're all forced to film together. Yeah, they all have to be on camera at the same time.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's about it. I don't have any other thoughts about Potomac because it makes me depressed. Are you watching Martha's Vineyard Summer House?
Noor, I am so sorry that I came on this podcast today. And your listeners, I apologize. I want to give a heartfelt apology for that as well because I really catfished you. I was like, yeah, a whole round of Bravo topics. I'm watching Summer House and Vanderpump Rules.
No, first of all, those two shows are very meaty, so I don't blame you. Here's what I can tell you about what happened on Martha's Vineyard this episode. This show is great because they love to do house meetings, which is so good. Classic reality TV form. Please have the house
meeting. They straight up evicted someone last season.
That's right. So the discussion this episode was, can we bring two of the people that were evicted off the house back in?
It's a last chance kitchen.
It is a last chance kitchen. But it's so funny because the one guy – this is so good. This guy, Phil, is my favorite psychopath to ever be on any reality TV show. He got kicked off because he came to the house. He took a dump in somebody else's bathroom and did not flush the toilet.
Okay.
And so the girls, some of the girls are like, Phil is a good time. And we would like for Phil to at least come and hang out with us. He doesn't have to stay at the house, but like, let's party.
We won't let him near our toilets, but he's a good time at the bars. Honestly, that's the same mentality I have about Donnie.
Don't let him anywhere near your toilet. Yeah. But I just loved it because there's this conversation. And then the other conversation is, can we have Mariah come back, who is Jasmine, the host's best friend? Can she come back? And so you have two girls that don't get along with Mariah who want Phil, the shitter not flusher, to come back. And then those two girls don't like Mariah. And they're like, Mariah abused us. Physically assaulted us. She didn't. She shoved laundry into somebody's hands.
Yeah. So I did watch last season, so I am familiar with this cast of characters. And so I love this idea that they're basically playing Red Rover with house alliances.
Yes. It's so good. It's so good. So yeah, like I like Martha's Vineyard because you know what? It's a fun like lay around and watch show. But I just love that this house meeting was like, can we bring back these two people who people have various reasons to be upset? Like Preston is legitimately upset about Phil because he's like, Phil makes me uncomfortable as like a queer black man. There is something really uncomfortable about this like very aggressive person to come into this house and how he might feel and what I've experienced and blah, blah, blah. But the cameras still keep rolling back to Phil saying, yeah, and I'll shit on you in your toilet next.
Dun, dun, dun. I remember watching last season and being like, these are two not comparable situations whatsoever. No. It's like they were riding the high from the first eviction that they were like, all right, I guess it's officially Big Brother. Who's next?
Yeah, exactly. It's so silly. Anyway, let's go over to Vanderpump Rules. Okay.
Sorry, I'm not watching that show either. Just kidding. I told you I was.
Just kidding. All right, end of episode. Thanks for being here. Bye. This beach day and everyone's reacting to Sandoval differently. And they're expecting Ariana to react to him differently. And are you like me? Do you feel like this is the Twilight Zone? Like, what the fuck is going on here?
To quote Will Ferrell in that one movie, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I don't understand. Like, this time-wise is 3 months after all of this broke. Like, she just found out about this. I remember how wound up we were as content creators as a Bravo community 3 months out. So it's like this idea that she needs to somehow like rise to the occasion and rise above and not show her emotions. And it's also like the fact that Ariana is emoting this much on camera when we know famously the notes from all of her castmates have been like, you need to show more. Yes. I feel like it just shows how much she's hurting, that she is showing this rage and vulnerability and sadness on screen. So it's like, I don't know. I just think Lala needs to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, she's very well on her way to become a Bethany Frankel.
Fully.
I also think that if you think about these people and like we, so you and I are somewhat normal people, I would say.
Well,
you know,
mm-hmm.
We did before really starting to record talk about how we can't get things done because of our ADHD, our chemical imbalances in our brain. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we're functioning regular adults who function within society and have regular jobs and understand like value and worth and what failures and success and what it means. Mm-hmm. I also think that these people are not like that. Like these people are people who value fame over literally everything else. Like they moved to LA to become famous. Mm-hmm. And in their minds, like you've hit Nirvana if you get to where Ariana is. Like mm-hmm. to them, they thought we're going to ride Ariana's coattails and then she's going to take us along with her so that we did the Uber Eats. But then as soon as like Ariana didn't fucking give Sheena her Dancing with the Stars spot, they suddenly were like, oh, she's not giving us all the things. Some of these hefty back commercials, she's just doing by herself. And like, we're not
She's only shaving her legs with the Bix. What about mine?
Exactly. She's not sharing any of the attention. So it's like to them, Nirvana is where Ariana's life is right now. And I think like similarly in their mind, the most hurtful thing that somebody can do is like not bring them along the ride, but also watch their friend hit Nirvana as they fade into irrelevance. Mm-hmm. And I think that in their mind is like, okay, well, it makes sense for Ariana to do that to Tom. But why is she doing that to us? Like, we're also victims to Ariana's success. We don't like the way that makes us feel.
Yeah. Sheena had to turn her back on someone who once included her in a photo 10 years ago.
More.
We need to remember she's the victim too.
I can't. Just like, he sent me thousands of dollars without saying anything about it. Yeah,
so, Sheena, yeah, so do cult leaders.
Yes, and also Sheena, he sent you money knowing full well who you are and that you are the person that would be like, Tom Sandoval sent me money. And he didn't even ask me, or I didn't even have to ask him. He just like did it because he knows that you're the person who's going to fucking talk about it. Like, come on, Sheena.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point, though. And I think that because all of them, fame is the ultimate goal by any means necessary. I mean, we've seen with this group, and to be clear, that's what makes great television. I don't want morals. I don't want values. I don't want there to be any sort of ties to reality. But I think because they're willing to get it by any means necessary, they're overlooking the fact of how Ariana got here and like what she might be struggling with because she's here without really choosing it. And I would say of anybody on the cast, she was the one at least forward facing about wanting to be famous for this. Like she always, I think, and this was actually part of my issues with her on the show sometimes, is like sometimes she gave the energy that she was like better than reality TV.
Sure, yeah.
But now because she's capitalizing off of it, everybody's like, well, what the fuck? You're too big for your britches. And now you're trying to dictate who you're filming with because they're going by like regular code of conduct of you can't ice people out. You have to be willing to film with everybody because we have a show to run without actually like hearing her out. And she's never said, don't film with him.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, Sheena, can you just not call me and give me live updates about what my toxic ex is saying about me?
Yeah, exactly. And also, can you guys step up when he's making digs about me on the side and not fucking just sit there and tell me, like Lala being like, what if he said the right things to you? And she's like, I don't want to fucking talk to him. And she keeps bringing up a great point, which is, I did nothing to this man. Mm-hmm. He does not get to show up and complain about things like pens and all this shit. Like him saying again, like, I just think she's going to be in for a rude awakening when she's got to fill up those pen drawers.
It's so condescending.
It's absolutely like.
Now, is Ariana not helping herself with the current bedside table situation?
No.
You know, who am I to judge? I can't cast stones. Again, raging ADHD. You don't want to see my bedside table. It is. It really does tell a tale mentally where I'm at. But again, maybe that's indicative of where she's at mentally that she can't remove the takeout from the bedside table.
Exactly. This frame of this camera is like right here. Okay. we pan over on this side or that side, mama, it is not good.
There's a reason I'm facing the wall.
Yeah. So, like, I also think that Ariana, like, for her, Ariana has always shown that she is obviously smarter than Tom. And Tom, for a long time, loved that he was with the smart, cool girl. Mm-hmm. And at some point when it became obvious that he couldn't, like, be, like, funny, cool, quirky, fun guy anymore and, like, with a smart girlfriend, because a smart girlfriend started being like, you're kind of fucking corny and, like, this isn't – we need to grow up, right? I think that he started finding other ways to seem like he is more important and more valuable because – he is, at the end of the day, a deeply insecure piece of shit little Peter Pan. And, like, so that's why he keeps saying things like, it was my loan guy and my bank. Okay, but she used her money. Like, do you understand how things work, Tom? And, like, he thinks that by saying these things, Ariana is, like, I think he knows that when he says these things, the people around them are so fucking stupid that they're going to be like, that's a good point, Tom. It was your loan guy. But, like, Ariana's like, I'm surrounded by fucking idiots. Like, this is not how any of this should work.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they're telling her two things. They're saying, you don't know how the world works and you're not going to be able to survive on your own. You're in for a rude awakening because Tom handled all the grown-up things. Meanwhile, she's like, no, I'm staying in this house. I'm counting my coins. Yep. I'm collecting. I'm investing. I'm getting my shit together. And they're like, just get out of there. Just rent another apartment, Ariana. And it's like – I don't understand this weird, like, up and down. And I honestly feel like at least Sheena is always consistent in riding the fence.
Yes.
Like, say what you will about Sheena, but she every single season without fail is going to try to toe the line. And so she ends up fucking up on both sides.
Yes.
And I like that consistency. But I think my issue with Lala is like, I need a neck brace. I'm getting such whiplash from her being like, oh, I'm going to kiss your hand and I'm going to, oh, I'm here for you. And I'm going to dab my not crying Botox eyes in one scene. And then the next scene being like, she needs to get the fuck over it.
Yeah.
Lala. And being like,
yeah, exactly.
And also then, don't hang out with Rand.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Don't hang out with Rand. I won't even say his name. I say my ex. I say my baby daddy. I say my donor. I never say his name. But I don't want Ariana to be so angry. I want her to be healthy and happy like I am. Look at me. I'm so happy, you guys. I'm so happy that every time I get in front of a mic, all I do is trash my castmates. I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm. And I think that talking about the Bethany Frankel effect. Mm-hmm. The fact she said too much. She said the quiet part out loud on whatever podcast. I mean, she's just been on a roll lately and she has her own podcast, so just continues. But whenever she was talking about how Ariana's like basically never given anything, and so she was really concerned going into the season that basically the storyline hinged on Ariana. Like, she said the quiet part out loud where basically it's like, oh, so you this whole time, rather than just like sitting back and seeing what might authentically happen with this woman who is heartbroken and trying to move on and actually has a very gripping story that I'm like very invested in, and I think a lot of viewers are, you started meddling from day one because you were like, shit, Rachel's at the Meadows. She's not coming back. So it's up to me now. I will elect myself as producer supreme to make shit good.
She's the worst. The absolute worst. She has this. Okay. I have to ask you. Your thoughts on Joe?
Ooh, Joseph. I have been through it with Joe. She triggers the fuck out of me because I've always said that I've been triggered by Tom Schwartz from day one because he reminds me exactly of my college boyfriend. I was so triggered by him that when I went on Katie Maloney's podcast, I word vomited and had to like confess, like I was – my Catholic guilt came up and I was like, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been a long time since my last confession. Katie, your husband triggers me. And I like had to say it because I talked so much shit about him. But it's funny because my ex, immediately following when we broke up, dated a Joe, which I think is the natural progression of things.
Yeah.
So when I first – was introduced to Joe as like the quirky, silly, I'm not like the other girls type of girl. I was immediately like, my hackles were up, my alarm bells were ringing. However, I think that what we're starting to see play out is oftentimes what happens in real life, where it's like, it's not actually the woman's fault. At the end of the day, the guy is the toxic asshole and is the problem. And I think it's so sad. Like, I felt for her this past episode because it's like, these girls are treating her like shit. It's so funny to watch Sheena in particular treat her exactly the way Sheena was treated season one. Mm-hmm. And then also it's like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you do everything quote unquote right. If you do everything the complete opposite of what Katie was because you heard him complain about the way Katie wasn't meeting his needs.
Yeah.
You're still going to be fucked over by this dude because at the end of the day, he's just a fuck boy with blonde hair now.
Exactly. And watching Joe come to that realization at the end and be like, you know, we would be great together, like saying all the things, I'm like, oh my God, I have been there.
Yes.
We have all been there. Just to be like, like I'm so cool. Like, I'm cool about this. Like, you know, and I know that I'm cool. Like, I'm not the one who's like, you know, we're great. Like, this is great. I'm not mad at you. Like, I think this is great. I'm not crying. No, this is fine. Like, we've all been there. And I feel like it's interesting. Like it was a roller coaster. Lala's scene with Joe, where Joe is like, I didn't know what was going on with Tom and Raquel or Rachel. Mm-hmm. As far as I was concerned, they were broken up. So then you did know that Sandoval was fucking Rachel and that Sandoval was saying that he wasn't with Ariana anymore. You knew this. Mm-hmm. So stop saying that you didn't know it. And then for Lala to be like, I just want to know what Joe's side of the story is like obviously producer plant bullshit.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe Lala needs to be honest. Like you said, like her concern is, again, the show. It's not actual real life. It's not an authentic hangout. She's actually like, I'm just here to do what the producers want me to do, which is why on the very first episode, I went into the back alley and called Rachel. Like,
yeah.
It's because that's all she cares about.
Yeah.
So like, fine.
And I think that was her plan. And I think really this producer energy that's coming from her stems from her own insecurities about the fact that like right now her storyline is finding a sperm donor, which I'm sure a lot of people are interested in seeing. And it's like good to show that side of things. But I think she had planned on being the bridge between Rachel and the group. And she was like, I'm going to get all these scenes because I'm going to get to film with Rachel. I'm going to get to film with the group. Yep. I'm going to be the facilitator. I'm going to make up for my egregiously horrible behavior at the reunion where I went way too hard and acted like I was a personal victim. Like, she was planning on having this entire redemption story arc. But then when Rachel was like, nope, actually, I'm out. I'm actually going to just drop 16 podcast episodes a week instead of going on this show.
I want to terrorize Chelsea.
I have to announce I have officially turned in my 2 weeks notice. Effective immediately, I'm out on Rachel. But I think that Lala was scrambling and now is like, okay, well, I'll just, I guess, do that for Joe now.
Yeah. Or Tom.
Or any of them. I think the moral of the story is if a man calls you Joseph, just maybe just don't.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're calling your broke bitch booty call T-Money, no. Maybe don't.
Yeah. No. I do feel for Joe because I think that she walked into filming with no allies, with no semblance of like what the reality of the situation was really going to be. And I feel like I also see a lot of – she's talked about having ADHD and I see a lot of those like quirky, like over the top, like she's anxious in the social situation. So she almost like doubles down on her quirkiness, which then makes it more off-putting. And believe me, game recognized game. I'm sitting here in my basement in heart sunglasses. I know about the double down. But also there is that element of I think the energy she came in with the group made it also hard. It was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy because the girls are vicious. They're sharks in the water and she's coming in insecure and they're just circling her like, fuck yeah, let's steal her hat.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest, also part of it was that, she did something where she pretended like she was Ariana's friend. She found out that Ariana's boyfriend was fucking somebody else, and she never talked to Ariana about it. And look, I don't think that that is – I don't think that that's anybody's responsibility. And if Ariana and Joe were never really close, then I guess it's fine. Like, it's like, dude, that's not my fucking business. But, like, let's own that part. And I think the issue I have with Joe is that she's still trying to be like, I'm just a quirky fun girl. Like, I'm not the one. Like, I don't like drama. I don't, but, like, no, but you're also involving yourselves in, yourself in situations by trying to be, like, a pick-me with a person who obviously is, like, a very volatile, hostile, misogynist man, whether it's Schwartz or Sandoval. But, yes, at the end when she is – like when Schwartz like gee golly whizzes her into like fucking well, I told you like I like you and like we have fun but like I told you like we can't be together like
oh, I don't want to send mixed signals
I just want to fuck you when I want. I want to hang out with you when I want. I want to fuck other people. And I want you to be cool about it. And I think you and I have talked about
And I want you to tend to my emotional needs. I want to be able to cry to you. I want to be able to vent to you. I want you to take care of me in all the ways that Katie was previously taking care of me, because I am actually just a giant man baby who can't exist in this world and be alone with my thoughts for one single second. So can you do all of that for me without any of the commitment so I can continue to pretend to be 26 again?
Exactly. And he's very much like – I think you and I talked about this before, right? Which is that the most annoying thing about somebody like Schwartz is like he hates Katie because Katie doesn't laugh at his jokes and stuff. It's sort of it's what Kyle does with Amanda on Summer House. It's like it's that same thing of like, why can't you just be cool? Why can't you just laugh? Like, why can't you just be chill? So here's Joe literally fucking laughing through her pain. And he's like, yeah, I thought everything was fine because like you're laughing. So like, well, what's the problem? Like, what's the big deal? And it's like, fuck off. I hate you're 45 years old. Like, grow the fuck up.
It brings me joy in the like cells of my being to watch his physical transformation to current day Val Kilmer. Because as it's so interesting to see the Bravo community finally fucking turn on him. Yes. And part of it is because, God bless it, Katie Maloney is finally getting her first good edit ever. Yes, yes. But also I think like as those boyish good looks fade, the facade, it fades away too, because like this is no different than how he's been behaving for the last 10 years. It's just that now we're seeing it with a new person and with less handsome features on his face. And I loved that scene at the beach where Katie's like, hey, you left your shit here. And he's like, oh, thanks, Bubba. She's like, no, like I'm not getting it for you. I'm letting you know, like, your shit's here on the beach if you want it.
Exactly. Now, what are your thoughts about this Tory business?
I think just the juxtaposition of the two shows I am watching on Bravo right now, Summer House is serving, and it's serving because it's real. And so it just makes it so much more obvious when there are these like, okay, shit, we've got 15 more minutes to fill this episode. What should we throw in? I'm sorry. As a bisexual woman, I can tell you, those nails that both of those girls had, that relationship isn't going anywhere physical.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's not – it's not going anywhere. And I like – I love – you know, I think I find it hilarious that Katie is like actively going after each one of Schwartz's like
iconic behavior,
right? I think it's great. And then for people to be like, that's crazy, that's a double standard, I'm like, I've said this before on my podcast, I want Katie to fuck each and every single person that Tom Schwartz has ever spoken to. I want her to fuck his mom, his brothers, his dad. I want him to fuck his fucking grandma if she's alive, okay? I want Katie to fuck every single person that Tom has ever been near. Honestly, Katie, fuck Joe next. Truly, that would be really iconic. Like, I think it's great. I think it's hilarious. But I also think, weirdly, like, this is Schwartz's kink. Like, I think Schwartz started dating Katie because Katie is, like, bold and intense and, like, she has very strong opinions. She's not a producer plant like Lala. That's why she's annoyed with Lala, because she's like, this isn't a real relationship. You don't have a real relationship with Joe. Why are you hanging out with her? Like, I like that for what it's worth, Katie is somebody who is, like, she's not always been perfect about this, but she has her, like, scruples, you know? And she's like going to stick by them. And yeah. I love that about her. I think that Tom Schwartz is weirdly like turned on by like the weird like abuse situation. Like, I wouldn't call it abuse, but I think he's into the fact that Katie is like kind of cock blocking him. Like
No, I feel like it's this weird thing where all the things that initially attracted him to her are attractive to him again. And now that she isn't cleaning up his messes and taking care of him and preventing his fun, because God forbid any yeah. grown man not have fun at every single moment of every single day. So I feel like now, I mean, he is like horny for Katie now. And honestly, I'm horny for Katie now. I love this mm-hmm. new era that she just is like giving no fucks and living her best life. But I do think that Schwartz is like weirdly turned on by all of this, but yeah. also because of this love triangle, it's like he still gets to maintain proximity to Katie, where yeah. I feel like she's like truly done with it.
Yeah.
But he is like, no, wait, hold on. Katie, like my shirt? Do you like my hair? We can make out with the same person. Katie, what are you doing tonight? Oh, yeah. Katie, are you going to get that stuff from the beach for me? Like, I love that yes. this is now the connecting force for yes. them.
Yeah, it's great. Let's quickly talk about the valley. I just want to tell you about it.
Yes.
So obviously we had this big blowout at the what they keep calling the Capri dinner. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's Capri as per the child of the world, Dorit Kemsley herself mm-hmm. in her Capri room at Buca di Beppo.
Sure.
But they had this big fight. It's obviously Kristen and Luke versus the lollies. And the big thing is racism about who said what. And so let's just bring everybody back up to what had happened. What had happened mm-hmm. is before production – people, I think, were just talking about how, like, some of these people have probably problematic views. And Michelle at some point said to Janet that she thinks that those don't say gay laws in Florida are not meant to harm children. In fact, they're meant to protect children. And mm-hmm. so Janet is like, what the fuck? And so Janet, because Janet is a fuck, here's the thing. Janet's a fucking snake and I am Janet, okay? I know exactly what the fuck Janet is doing. Uh-huh. Janet is like, oh my God, you guys, I had the weirdest conversation with Michelle Lawley. You will not believe what she said. And so she tells Jasmine, is that her name? Jasmine? Yes. Jasmine and Zach. They talk shit about it. They're like, yeah, I think there's some
and fucking- Zach is the one who looks like Shrek in human form. The hairline yes. starts at the eyebrows.
Yes. Okay. A Lego piece with the hair on backwards. Mm-hmm. Zach and Jasmine hear from Janet. And Janet has now packaged this in a way to say, actually, I told them because I feel like they know a lot about it and maybe they could help Michelle out. And that's why I told them, so that maybe they could guide Michelle and give her some information. When you know, and I know because I am Janet, that she was just talking shit. Mm-hmm. And so Zach, being a shit talker, then takes us over to Kristen Doty. And Kristen, being the loose cannon that she is, mm-hmm. does the thing where she turns the conversation from Michelle Lawley might be homophobic to Michelle Lawley is probably a Republican and a racist. And and then she says it to other people uh-huh. and she starts talking about it, which obviously is why now the Lawleys, Jesse and Michelle, are mad at Kristen for saying the R word. And I'm like, guys,
also, we can't be using the R word when there's a legitimate R word. The R word. Also, I loved – there was a tweet that I reposted of the Marge Simpson meme where she's like – it was like Britney sitting at that table. Like,
yes. 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 Exactly. It was so funny. It's like Britney and Jax are suspiciously quiet in this whole thing.
I want to be like, hey, Britney, what's your pastor's take on the don't say gay thing?
Exactly. And I think it's so funny that this is why – what I think is – hilarious is that Janet is a mastermind. She knows exactly what the fuck she's doing. She knows that, like, Kristen, she knows the whole conversation wasn't even about racism. So that's why she keeps saying, I never said Michelle was a racist. I never said Michelle was
racist. It's brilliant because then she can keep her hands clean. She's like, no, I want to be very clear. I literally never said that.
Yes. And you know, Janet is like, actually, so she might be a homophobe and a transphobe, but like,
I'll save that for next season. And we'll circle back.
And Kristen is just the exact like person who is a mess, who mm-hmm. will take the bone and run with it and like just turn it into something else, right? And that's why Janet, there's literally a scene of Janet overhearing a conversation where Kristen is sobbing to Zach and apologizing to everybody, and she has her head turned to the side and she's smirking. like smirking like problem child, like the child from Problem Child. It's uh-huh. amazing. I love Janet. She's a monster. Like, and I know exactly what she's doing, and that's why she's like, you know what, Kristen, I really need some space from you right now. Cause like I need some space and time to digest. She's also like really using her pregnancy as like another shield of protection.
I love that. I did it twice. I'm so happy that I never have to be pregnant again, but that was one benefit. Like, you better believe that I was finding loopholes and ways to be like, ooh, but yes. I'm with child.
Yeah, exactly. And then Kristen, because she is Kristen, is like more like, they're all just mad at me because their marriages suck and I get to have sex with a 32-year-old. Luke is 32? I beg your pardon?
Ooh. You know, it's good to see that she's been learning and listening and growing all these years off camera, that she's returned just a different person.
Yeah. I love that her biggest thing is like, this is the worst thing that could have ever happened to me, to be called out for my own actions. The worst thing that ever happened to me was being held accountable for my actions. The consequences of my own actions were terrible. Okay.
Cancel that. Culture and such. Yeah.
seriously. Summer House. Oh, it is serving in many ways. It's just fun to watch them. Everybody's happy. We're missing multiple cast members, but we like never really notice, which is great. Mm-hmm. But we have two shitty relationships, and it's great to watch them.
Ooh, we sure do.
Well, let's talk about Kyle and Amanda first. What are your thoughts here? What do you think is going on with these two crazy kids?
The same thing that's been happening since the day they met. It's so wild to see them season after season have quite literally the exact same conversations and coming to it like they've never heard it before. Like, wait, let me get this straight. Amanda doesn't like when Kyle parties till 4 a.m. and Kyle wants Amanda to send more emails. I've never heard this before.
Like, and also Kyle just wants Amanda to laugh at his jokes. Like, he thinks that like Amanda believes that she met this man who was like kooky, funny, crazy guy. She says that she's like, I was dating an older guy, so I thought eventually he would settle down. And she thought he was so charming. And at some point the charm wore off because Amanda assumed that this man would grow up. He never did. And so now Kyle is like, I'm married to a woman. She didn't even like me. And like he's sobbing to Paige because he opened up her phone. And there weren't even any pictures.
It was so funny. That setup was so funny. And Bravo did not take advantage enough of like, you know how they usually will cut to commercial and leave you on a cliffhanger? Yeah. It's like, oh my God, even though I don't watch with commercials, it's like, I'm going to have to rewatch the start of the sentence before I find out what happens at the end of the sentence. And I wish they had done that because the setup of like, I came home and I shouldn't have done it, but I opened her phone and she doesn't even have any pictures with me.
I lost it. And he's sobbing. And Paige is like, it's okay. She's like, yeah, Kyle, that is pretty fucked up. But you know in Paige's mind, she's like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I love
that Paige DeSorbo uses gentle parenting techniques when she talks to the men in her house. She's like, oh, and so you're feeling sad right now. It's sad when there's no pictures. It's okay to feel sad, but we have to show our sadness by not being an asshole to our wife. When we're sad, we can ask for help. We don't have to yell.
It's like Miss Paige instead of Miss Rachel. It's like, that's what she really needs to be doing. It's hilarious. Like, and then they have that like therapy session or whatever where they both ultimately are broken people who likely should work on their own feelings about themselves and maybe be with other people.
I know. And Summer House is so weird because, number one, it consistently has men that I don't 100% hate, which we know is very rare for me. Like very my baseline rare. Is I meet a man and you have to prove to me why I shouldn't hate you. Yes. But so even these douchebags, like I've always had a soft spot for Kyle. And I think it's because like he's a good person. Like he's a good friend. Good person is relative, but like I don't think of all the Slytherins on Bravo, he's a Hufflepuff, you know?
Yeah, no, he is such a Hufflepuff and he thinks that he's not. He thinks he's functioning like a Slytherin, but he is so Hufflepuff.
I think he thinks he's a Ravenclaw.
Oh, yes, you're right.
He's he like, I am going to set up my workstation in the middle of the kitchen and get mad when you make a sandwich.
Exactly.
And then Lindsay's like, why isn't anybody making me a sandwich? But I think like the thing with Kyle and Amanda is like I'm always rooting for them because at the end of the day, I love love and they did decide to go – they did decide to go through with this wedding, right? Like we were all watching their engagement like, oh, you're really going to do this? Like it was a – it's funny to see like the other side of the coin with Lindsay and Carl like to actually – like it's like I sigh a big sigh of relief whenever I remember present day what's happening.
Yeah.
But – I'm rooting for Kyle and Amanda, but at the same time, it's like there are very clear things that both of them could do on either side to like just take a step towards the other person meeting in the middle, but they're very entrenched in like, no, this is what I'm doing. And it's funny to see what happened to Amanda and like the choices she made because at the beginning, Kyle felt like he was the one with all the power in the relationship. He was the one with the TV show, he was the one with the money, like he was going to go out and she was just going to be waiting for him. But then meanwhile, instead of waiting for him, she was like, I think maybe I'll get a life that I really enjoy. Yeah, and maybe I won't take pictures of you, Kyle.
Yeah, exactly. And now Kyle's like, she doesn't even – like it's very similar, right? It's like what Tom does with Ariana. It's like you finally realize that you're actually you're not the alpha in your relationship and you have to come to terms with it. And I think Kyle is coming to terms with that. But I think it's also – like for him to be like – it's I don't want to move to Jersey because I don't want to have to end up just like talking to you.
Brutal.
And then she walks away and he's like, I'm trying to have a conversation with you. You just told her she doesn't talk and that she being with her makes you feel alone. Do you think your wife wants to hear that, Kyle? Like, I love how out of touch he is.
Such an idiot. He's such an idiot. And it's also at the end of the day, if they listen to like they just have very different priorities. And if they actually listen to each other, they both are expressing the same thing where it's like they are taking their future seriously. They're not taking having kids lightly. They want to be prepared for it. For Amanda, that looks like moving out of the city, having a place to live, being grounded in the suburbs. For Kyle, it means working his ass off so that everything is like financially taken care of. But rather than seeing like, oh, both of us are working towards this common goal in our own ways, they're just yelling at each other and comparing it to having dogs.
Exactly. And please, everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not
my fur babies.
Yeah, I can't. But I you're absolutely right. And I think it's like that's another thing, right? Like they think that because the other person isn't doing exactly what they're doing, that they don't care. And it's like, no, I care. I just, you know, I care in a different way. And that I want to get fucked up with strangers until 4 o'clock in the morning because they laugh at my stupid jokes, or I think that they're laughing, but I'm actually blackout drunk. I have no idea whether or not they're laughing with me or at me. Yeah. But it's enough because I'm an empty shell of a person. Do you like my mullet?
It's real now. I traded my Amazon wig. Now this is just me all the time. It used to be just once a year on 4th of July, and now it's all the time.
All the time, baby. Carl and Lindsay, two people who are not having sex all the time. They're not even having sex at all. They are having sex without completion for anybody.
Brutal.
Oof, rough stuff. Mm. What is this?
It's so sad and dark and weird. And I hate when Craig Conover becomes the voice of reason. I hate that Summer House has put me in the position that I'm kind of looking forward to when Craig comes, because then Paige gets to complete the Muppet in the balcony persona. Yes. Like, I love that Paige is always the Greek chorus and saying exactly what I'm saying out loud.
Yeah.
But she's exactly right when she's talking about, like, Lindsay had this idea. She's a PR person. She had this idea of her storyline. And she was going to have this arc of, like, you know, I was unlucky in love. Then I got to get together with my best friend and look at us now. And she wanted to complete this journey and she is like white knuckling her way to the end. But it's also like I feel so bad for them because I feel like had they shown this level of honesty last summer, I actually think they could be in a place of stability and good now. But because last summer they were like, everything's great, look at us, fine and dandy, they weren't able – it was like an us versus the world type of mentality that they weren't able in the beginning stages of their relationship to work through some of the kinks of like, hey, you're sober and I – part of my job is getting blackout drunk 3 months out of the year. Like, what are our boundaries? What does that look like? Yeah. So instead, it's just like all coming to a head now in really, really toxic ways.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Lindsay is so tied to the fairy tale of this life because we know Lindsay. She had a list. She had a timeline. She had a plan. And Carl, in her mind, did also kind of say to her like, yeah, I could fit in this timeline of yours. Like Lindsay's a person who was very clear about her expectations, right? And Carl said, yeah, I can fill those expectations. The other things that Lindsay didn't talk about, obviously, are like, what are your expectations of me, Carl? And Carl was like, I don't know, because Carl's also a doofus. He's not ambitious. He doesn't have a job. Like, we also know what Carl is not capable of. And there might be a million reasons for that. And I'm not going to like downplay that he at least tries. But just because he can fulfill your timeline, Lindsay, doesn't mean that he is going to like also fill all the other gaps that you in your mind feel are there for him. Like he's not – if he's busy filling in your timeline, he's not also going to have time to work on himself. And when he does work on himself, you don't like the way he's working on himself. It's very much the same thing as Amanda and Kyle.
Yeah.
They're actually the exact same couple, right?
Yeah.
It's just that Lindsay is Kyle in the Carl and Lindsay relationship. And I just like, even when she's like putting on her dress and stuff this episode, she's like, I can't believe this is happening for me that I get to marry my best friend. And I was like, and I love that the music, the editors like put on Succession music whenever that starts. It's great.
Yeah, it really gets the heart pumping. You're like, any second now, Carl's going to bust in with the camera crew and ruin her dreams.
Hey, hey, hey. Like,
you're exactly right, though. But it's the same idea of like, the things that they're fighting about are who these people are, and they've always been that. I love Jesse being like, so has she always been like this? And Carl's kind of like, well, yeah. And it's like, huh, so it shouldn't be a surprise then. You kind of signed up for this. But in the same regard, it's like Carl has been bouncing from job to job since season one. Arguably, the fact that like he's had the amount of personal growth that he has is – really amazing and shocking and awing. Like he's really, he is working on himself. And then not only that, you're like picking apart the things that you knew about him, but then the one huge, ginormous accomplishment of getting sober and staying sober that does take a lot of guts and dedication. Yeah. You're just constantly, the moment that you have that fourth bottle of rosé, you're like, I think you relapsed again. So fucked up.
It is so fucked up. And I'm so glad they are not together anymore. I think like Lindsay's got to take the Lala route, I think. She's got to have her baby on her own. She's not a person who's going to share well with another person.
No, because then it just becomes like all problems you have in a relationship before kids just gets magnified. So if you're feeling resentful and like you do everything and they aren't doing enough or they're not doing it right, then that's just going to be you didn't pack the diaper bag right.
Yep.
You slept when the baby was crying, and I've counted how many times I've gotten up with the baby. I'm feeding the baby. Like it's just a recipe for that next level of fighting. And I don't know if it's the veneers. I don't know if Lindsay is just a horcrux that's just sucking the life. But like Carl is dwindling. By the end of this season, Carl is going to be one of Ursula's worms in her lair.
He is. Because the one season where he first got sober initially, he came in with like a thick butt and some juicy thighs. And we're like, ooh, Carl's looking juicy. He's working out. He looks good. He's emaciated. He's so small. I was like, he needs to be in one of those Sarah McLachlan dog commercials because
– And to be clear, I've always been a Lindsay Hubbard apologist. I've been a Hub House supporter and denier since day one. And I do see the other side of the coin too, because I do think Carl is not open with his expectations. It's clear that Carl is passive aggressive. He doesn't like her drinking. It is an issue for him, but he's not setting those boundaries with her. So then she isn't following them. And Lindsay is someone who, and this was the problem with the falling out with her and Danielle, Lindsay is somebody who needs to be explicitly told what you need, because she's never going to ask. She's never going to notice, like, huh, look at that other person experiencing something outside of my experience. Yes. I should ask them about that. So Carl is also, it's just not a healthy dynamic in general for either of them.
Yeah. And like you said, right now, Lindsay is a person who needs to be explicitly told, because Lindsay is a person who explicitly tells. Mm-hmm. She had an explicit plan for what she wanted from her relationship. And Carl said, yeah, I could do that. But Carl never expressed what he needed from her. And so she's like, all right, well, until you fucking tell me what you want, I'm not going to play guessing games with you, you know? And I think that that's kind of how I am also. Like, I get it. But like, you see it also between Paige and Craig. Like, Paige is very clear about what she wants. And Craig is like, she's like gonna tell him, like, I like this or I don't like this. And Craig is like, all right, well, I'm still gonna do my thing.
I'm still gonna buy this racehorse.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, all right, well, fucking,
you're,
I guess,
an idiot, gonna, but you're an idiot. Chicken.
Yeah, good luck. I'm good thing we're not married. Like, that's the thing. Like, they have things that they don't agree on. So they're like, this works for a boyfriend, girlfriend, but it does not work maybe in a marriage. And until we get to that point, we can't cross that bridge. Lindsay and Carla were like, let's cross the bridge, because Lindsay's got this timeline. We got to go.
Yeah. It's just really clear that they have not had any like logistical communication conversations, because, and I don't know if I've like talked about this publicly, but like my husband stopped drinking about a year ago and it was a big shift. Like, we were the party couple. Like, we were the party people for, I'm still a party person, but like, when that happens, you have to like, you have to be supportive in whatever that looks like. And like, one of the first conversations you have is like, what is your level of comfort for me drinking or me going out? And it's clear that they haven't had any of those going into the summer, because like, for me, and everybody's different, there are some people it's like, I don't want you drinking around me, I don't want you drinking at all, whatever. For us, it's like, he's fine with me having a drink or two around him, but if I'm going like out, it's like, all right, love you, babe, I'm going home, you stay out and spend the night out, and like, you do you. But like, he doesn't want to be around it, and rightfully so. Everybody's fucking annoying when they're drunk. Absolutely. But it's like, it's so clear that Lindsay and Carl haven't even had that like level one conversation of like, hey, how do you want to navigate it when I get a little too drunk?
Yep, exactly.
So instead, they're getting in screaming fights in a Lyft, which, why aren't there cameras?
Where are the Lyft cameras? And I'm fairly certain Lyft does have cameras. Like, Bravo, what do you have to do to get that footage?
We had TMZ scoop in that DoorDash or that Ring camera footage from Shannon Bedore's DUI. Like, certainly we could scoop some some dash cams.
I'm sure there's a Lyft driver somewhere in the Hamptons that would love to get the extra like $300 from Bravo. Like, Lyft doesn't pay that well.
Because also, it was a Lyft driver who drove Tom and Ariana home the night that she saw the video of Raquel. Where's that footage?
Exactly. You know, Bravo, I don't know what's going on over there. Well, we know what's going on. They got to save the money for Andy's ski slopes, so.
For BravoCon in 2025.
Just going to wrap this conversation up with a tweet that I just saw recently of Jax. So Jax and Brittany share that their son, Cruz, is having a hard time. He has a speech delay.
Right.
And breaking news to literally nobody, spoiler alert to you, I guess, if you're not paying attention, shocking information, Jax is blaming vaccines for it. So Jax Taylor is on his Jason Couchy is going to Jason Couchy. Okay. I hope that Bravo is really happy that they replatformed this piece of shit. They're like, yeah, I mean, he seems fine. He live, laugh, learned. It's okay. We're going to talk about kids and having kids. What could be the problem?
Jasmine's going to show Kristen that tweet, and next season we're going to have a riveting debate about, oh, I don't know, like Sandy Hook. Oops, don't bring that up. Don't look at Britney's old tweets about that.
Well, this is great.
For somebody who sorry to end with a Sandy Hook joke. That was dark.
Okay. The joke is actually that Britney's a piece of shit. So it's fine. But for somebody who only watched two of the five episodes or of television that I sort of covered, I'm really proud of you.
Well, I love to hear about it. So have me on any time where you tell me what's happening on these shows I'm not watching.
I will say a couple of years ago, Aarti, when she was still actively part of the podcast, she was in India for 3 months. And so every week I just told her what was happening. And it was actually some of the best content because you get live reactions of somebody being like, you know, there was a fight about a vagina, about exploiting a vagina on Salt Lake City.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that sometimes I feel like we're just so far down the rabbit hole talking to other people who get it, that it is nice to sometimes say it out loud to someone who doesn't know what you're talking about. And they're like, wait, so just to back up, what? Oh, can I say one other thing about Summer House?
Yeah.
Again, men that I don't hate. They gave us Andrea last season. And this season, if Wes turns out to be a piece of shit, I don't think I'm going to be able to ever trust a man again.
I'm nervous.
I know.
I'm nervous because he's a former football player. He's a sports guy. I think I hear sports journalist, I immediately think Barstool Sports, and I'm like, ugh. He's also white and from the Midwest. Like I – and straight. Like
I know. It's the alarm bells are going, but the charm, it's –
the charm is there. I mean, either he is actually a good person or he's really masking it really well and we're going to be, you know, we're going to get fucking – what was it? I mean, not everybody thought Tom Sandoval was a good guy. I always thought he was kind of a piece of shit, but
– yeah.
You know, we were alarmed when that happened. And I just hope that Wes doesn't let us down. And as much as Jesse Solomon is whatever, I appreciate him because he brought that girl over. He fucked her with the camera covered. Last week he was like, show me your tit to some chick on FaceTime and fell asleep. I kind of love it.
I'm loving – and I think that actually the rotating door of not having all of the cast all of the time is good because it changes up the dynamic. – Like each weekend is different because there's different players that have come to play.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love you and I'm glad that you were here.
I love you. And thank you for letting me come on your Bravo podcast, even though I am just barely hanging on to Bravo. It didn't help that I have been reading that fairy porn series. So that's been taking up the majority of my time as of late.
Fairy porn. I know somebody did ask me to read the, what is it? Court of Thorns.
A Court of Thorns and Roses. That's what I just finished it. Nor, please.
I can't. I'm trying to be like a better person and read like David Sedaris, but which is fine. It's very
funny. I love David Sedaris, but this is also it's. I think Nor, you have to read it because you'll love it. The main character is insufferable. The main character is Joe. The main character is Joe, and she loves to paint. She cannot get enough of painting. She wants to paint everything. Oh, you'll love it. Please read it.
I'll see. I might add it to my queue for later on in the year. But are there dragons fucking in it?
Not yet. No.
Okay. Because there's another series that also has like – it's fair. It's like, softcore dragon porn. And stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. Well, I guess we're running out of ideas.
But hey, I'm not mad about it.
Chelsea, tell everybody what you guys have going on your podcast and where they can catch it.
Sure. So you can follow me at Oh No Chelsea on Instagram if you want to hear me talking to, I don't know, maybe just myself about this fairy porn series. And then you can listen to I Am the Cute One. We are doing Friday episodes, TGIF, where it's basically just like pop culture roundups. This week we heard about Donnie almost shitting his pants at his sister's bridal shower because he drank 6 espresso martinis.
Well, we had let him back near our toilets. Then I think
that I see. No, that's why I say you can stay out there. Use the outhouse, sir. Come in, wash up, and come in when you're done. And then we are covering movies. So Donnie Appreciation Month, thankfully, has finally come to an end. It rounded out with a big old bang with Sucker Punch, which made me want to sucker punch myself in the face. So if you like the chaos, you like stupidity, if you'd like dumb people, come over there and give us a try.
Oh, I love it.
And we have to have you back soon.
Yeah. I want to come on during one of the TGIF episodes because I just love to talk about nonsense that's happening in the world. You want my hot takes on OJ Simpson's death?
To quote Caitlyn Jenner, good riddance, OJ. It's like, oh, Caitlin, be careful throwing those stones in that glass house, honey.